The United Nations highest court has ordered Myanmar to take urgent measures to protect its minority Rohingya population from the threat of genocide. The International Court of Justice was not persuaded by the defence offered by Myanmar's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, who travelled to The Hague last month. Thousands of Rohingya died and more than 700,000 fled to Bangladesh during an army crackdown in 2017. Antonia Malvi is executive director of the human rights NGO Legal Action Worldwide, which represented Rohingya survivors at The Hague. She now joins me from Beirut. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast, Antonia.
Good morning, Norman.
What's your response to the ruling by the International Court of Justice?
I think this is a momentous day for the Rohingya community. It was a landmark decision, and the International Court of Justice today found it had jurisdiction on the case for provisional measures, and it ordered four provisional measures, which were incredibly important today. The first was that Myanmar must do everything in its power to prevent acts of genocide. And let's remember what that is. That includes killing of civilians and stopping the sexual violence. Secondly, it ordered Myanmar to ensure that its Myanmar military or its agents don't commit acts of genocide. And thirdly, it made an order to ensure that Myanmar doesn't destroy any evidence related to the genocide. And then fourthly, it made an order that Myanmar must report back to the court within 4 months of how it has implemented these measures, and thereafter every 6 months. It was really quite a fantastic day, I must say.
But it doesn't go to the ultimate merits of the case, which is whether or not they committed genocide.
You're absolutely right, Norman. It doesn't. And it wasn't about that today. And that will be decided at the full hearing, which may take, you know, anything between 3 to 5 years. But it was incredibly important. Why? Because of these provisional measures. But let's remember that there are 600,000 Rohingya who are still living in Rakhine State in Myanmar. And the orders that were made by the court today, we hope, will really protect them. And I think that this is why it's so important. Not only that, but it has sent a message to the world that they are listening. The highest court in the land has heard what has happened to them. And I was in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, where the Rohingya
that's the largest refugee camp in the world at the moment.
Exactly, it is. On the 25th of August 2017, that's when the major security clearance operations took place by the Myanmar military, which resulted in one of the fastest moving refugee populations since Second World War II. And more than 700,000 Rohingya fled across the border from Myanmar into Bangladesh. And actually, on the second week of September, I was one of the former UN investigators on that border watching them cross over. So that's what we are talking about. And they are now residing, as you have said, in one of the biggest refugee camps in the world. And I was there last week in Cox's Bazar meeting with the Rohingya refugees that we represent. And we also spoke with them today and saw their reactions on the video, Norman. It was quite fantastic to see their faces smiling, knowing that, you know, the highest court in the land has made this decision and has heard their voice. And to think about also families and communities that are still residing in Myanmar, that they will be protected, we hope.
The Gambia from in West Africa took this case, filed this case in the International Court of Justice. Did they ask for any decision on return of the Rohingya refugees?
No, they didn't make a request on the return of the Rohingya refugees. It was looking at preventative measures, protection measures in relation to acts of genocide. And I think it's very interesting if we look at why did Gambia take the case. And of course, if we look at who the Attorney General was, the Minister of Justice who led the Gambia legal team, he of course was a former prosecutor for the International Criminal Tribunal of Rwanda. And he himself had said he had seen genocide when he was there prosecuting those cases of Rwanda, and he visited the camps of Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, where there's nearly now 1 million Rohingya refugees are residing, because Rohingya refugees have been fleeing across the border for actually decades, in fact, from Myanmar.
Now, it might make the Rohingya feel better to feel that there's this recognition, but it's not enforceable in any way, is it?
Well, it's a legally binding decision by the International Court of Justice. And if we look back at the December hearing, so let's remember that Gambia versus Myanmar started on the 10th of December in The Hague. It was a three-day hearing. And what was very important was on the second day of the hearing, and I was there in The Hague with Rohingya refugees who we had brought from Bangladesh to The Hague. It was quite an extraordinary moment for them to be there. And we had Aung San Suu Kyi opening the statement on behalf of the Myanmar government, saying, denying genocide, admitting there may have been violations of international law, humanitarian international law, but they do not constitute genocide. I think the fact that she was there in person representing the government and the military, it says something. They have engaged with the proceedings. So what will Myanmar do now? Well, the court has made very strict reporting requirements to Myanmar. They must report back within 4 months. And Gambia can comment upon their reporting back to the court. But as you say, you know, will Myanmar comply? I've been thinking, you know, well, this is a million-dollar question. We don't know that. We very much hope so. We hope that the international community will support Myanmar to meet those legal obligations. If they do not, the only alternative would go to the UN Security Council.
So the Gambia can't appeal, nobody can appeal the court's decision, but if it's not abided by, the Gambia's got the right to go to the Security Council.
That is what would have to happen if they don't comply. But, you know, I think we had all thought, if you went back to December, we were all amazed Aung San Suu Kyi turned up to the International Court of Justice. And they made a one-page statement this evening about the hearing. It was what one would may have anticipated, that they said genocide has not taken place. However, we recognise that war crimes have taken place. Aung San Suu Kyi
So it's a bit more definite about the admission about war crimes.
Yes, they have admitted war crimes. And Aung San Suu Kyi and her submissions have said, yes, but we can deal with this internally. We have court martials, but of course Myanmar has shown that they're not able or capable to have independent investigations and prosecutions, particularly in cases related to the Rohingya. And of course, it's also important to remember that Aung San Suu Kyi, during the whole proceedings of the International Court of Justice, never mentioned the word Rohingya. She also never touched upon the sexual violence, the mass gang rape that took place. And of course, I represent some of those survivors. And let's remember, Norman, this is about those Rohingya communities, the individuals who have suffered so much and lost so many members of their family. And that was so important for them today.
What do we know about the Rohingya left in Burma, in Myanmar?
Well, they are living under very difficult conditions. The UN fact-finding mission had stated that 120,000 approximately are living what we might call internment camps. They have no freedom of movement, extremely difficult. They can't leave the area for which they're confined. The rest of them will be living in very difficult situation. We know there has been ongoing violence. The UN fact-finding mission report again of September 2019, of which Gambia heavily relied upon in its submission for the argument of genocide, said that the Rohingya are being subjected to ongoing genocidal acts. And this was very important in Gambia's submission and its argument.
So people are being killed, women are being raped still. Is that what you're saying, specifically?
It is continuing, but not, Norman, at the level that happened in 2016 or 2017. But there are conditions there that, yes, that is what the UN fact-finding mission report stated. And I think this is very important because it's a fundamentally very important issue for Gambia's submission to the court. And the court has found that. That is what they've said by issuing these provisional measures. They have said they're very concerned that the Rohingya are vulnerable to ongoing violence from Myanmar.
Antonia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Norman.
Antonia Mulvey is the executive director of the human rights NGO Legal Action Worldwide, which represents Rohingya survivors at The Hague.